tonight. We're privileged to hear Megan Litton. She's going to be speaking on an infinite God, a God with no limits. Megan has been a part of Memorial Road since she was a baby. She grew up here. She's the daughter of Alfred and Judy Branch, the wife of Brock, and they have three children. She graduated from OC with a degree in elementary education, and she's active in the children's ministry here at Memorial Road. She creates the children's ministry newsletter, and she also leads the Kingdom Kids during early service on Sunday mornings. I know she's involved in her children's schools, letting her talent shine there, and tonight she's going to let her talent shine here in class before us tonight. Megan, thank you.
Well, yes, my degree is in elementary education. I'm used to talking to 2 to 7-year-olds every Sunday, so this is out of my comfort zone, but I am here and I'm excited about it, and so let's go on this journey together. But yes, my name's Megan Litton, or as many of you know me, if you've grown up here or been here forever, as Megan Branch. Brock still rolls his eyes many times when I'm still referred to as Megan Branch, although my name has been changed for almost 15 years come June 4th. He just has to get over it sometimes. And I do have 3 kids. Crawford, 9, which I cannot believe, he just turned 9. Cash, 7. And our sweet little princess, Campbell, is 4. And I love that they get to roam the halls of this church just like I did when I was little. And they are loved by some of the same people that loved me when I was little. And that's pretty special. I also have a handprint plaque. You know, I'm very famous in the hallways over here. And I grew up running the halls of the old part of the church in youth group lock-ins, which I was told, are lock-ins not a thing anymore? Do we not do lock-ins anymore? Someone got smart, if that was true. But, although we had a good time playing Capture the Flag. Phil, side note, was our middle school youth minister when I was here. He taught me a lot of ping pong, I will say. I'd say that is his first passion. Then he loves God, but he loves some ping pong. Okay, so I have a weird segue to talk about how God is infinite. But before I do that, I forgot. Here's my real life. Forgot about this slide. But I don't want to forget about it because these are the things that make up my life, and I'm so grateful for them. So Sunday, we host our small group a lot. And last Sunday, we had a cereal night, which I will say, as Bree can attest to, the kids were very excited about cereal night. They thought they hung the moon. But I love nothing more than a table filled with children. This week is fundraiser week at our school, and of course I had to dress up with my boys for 50s Day. So I love being at their school, being involved there. And then, as many of you can relate, Friday nights, we're at the football field. Saturdays, we're at the soccer field. And so we're very busy. We love our busy life, but we also love all the people that are in it. So now let me segue into how God is infinite. With a question, a weird question, who had the biggest baby in this room? I'll start. So Cash, my middleman, he was 8 pounds, 15.5 ounces. So they rounded him up to 9 for me to say I was carrying a 9-pounder. I already know a friend in here beat me on this, but anyone above 9 pounds? Ooh, okay, I love this. I'll go to the back. Yes?
9 pounds, 10 ounces.
9 pounds, 10 ounces. Any, 10 pounds, 3 ounces. 10 pounds, 5. Anyone above? Going once? Going twice? Can I hug you?
book that we're studying, None Like Him, Jen Wilkins says, "The first legally attested evidence that we are not God was when we were born. And that's because we were given a measurement. They weighed us. They said how big we were, how tall we are. Can we do that for God? We can't. He has no measurement. Measurement is all around us. We're obsessed with measurement. We keep time. Did you go to a coffee shop today? Because I did. I'm living on caffeine this week. Did you get a tall, a grande, a venti? Did you get a 6 ounce, an 8 ounce, a 16 ounce, depending on the day? Did you go for a walk today? Did you measure how far you walked? Did you go to a gas station? Measure how much gas you need? Or, like me, are on fumes, literally right now, and might not make it to the gas station, so I might need to call someone to help me after church. But measurement is all around us. So Jen also states, any discussion of how God is not like us must begin with an acknowledgement that we are measurable and he is not. God is infinite and he has no limits. And so the definition of infinite, because let me be honest, when I got this topic, how do you describe an infinite God? It's very hard. What else can we say? He's infinite. He's everywhere. See ya. So I'm very thankful for Jen. She led me down an amazing path. And I do believe God gave me a really good angle. But the definition of infinite is limitless, endless in space, extent or size, impossible to measure or calculate. So we humans are lovers of measurement. And being able to measure something gives us a sense of control. We love control, don't we? We want to be in control. This is why it's so hard to fathom God's greatness and his infinite power. Because there's no measurement to it. And we can't control it. So, how big is God? Let's ask the experts. These are my kiddos from Kingdom Hearts.
How big is God?
That big? Wow.
Okay, Jace, how big is God? He's so big, like, can you show me? Like, how big is he?
Whoa.
That is so big. Hey, Nora, how big is God? Bigger than everything? Like, show me. How big do you think? Campbell, how big is God? Hey, Max, how big is God? That big? Wow, he's big, isn't he?
So God, he's big. And again, it's hard to describe it because he has no measurement. You know, we can't go further than this, like for our own measurement. So we teach our kids, he's this big, right? So here's the question I want to focus on. How should the knowledge that God is infinite change the way I live? And you'll recognize this verse. We sang it a second ago. But Isaiah 40:12-13. Who else has held the oceans in his hands? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? So can God use measurement? He can. Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? So, point one, what we've been saying about God is that he is immeasurable. That's the first point of being infinite. He has no measurement. And we've talked about measuring things, like physical things. But how do we measure the people around us? And I'm not just talking about on a scale. Any takers? How do we measure people around us? And it can be icky. I have some icky ones.
By their kindness.
Ooh, kindness. Okay. Any others?
Intellect.
Ooh, intellect. Oh, I heard another one.
How they make you feel.
Ooh, how they make you feel. Good, 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 good.
Success.
Success. Their successes.
I think it's really funny. I'm a school psych for a living, so I measure people for a
yes,
living,
you do.
Ironically.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's a lot of different tests than what we're looking at.
Uh-huh. We can test, yeah, their abilities.
We can measure how funny they are. The icky one I thought about, how much money do they have? That's icky. Kindness, are they a good person? The yucky one is how many followers do they have? We assess strengths and we assess weaknesses. Are they worthy of our time? But here's the simple truth. We can't put a measurement on God. We can't just put him in a little red box, as I sing with my Devo kids, to put my Jesus in. I take him out and put him right back in. Sometimes we wish that we could take him in a little red box with us, but the great thing is we don't have to, because he's everywhere, and he's infinite. He's in the mountains when you are in awe of his magical creation, as Marianne talked about last week, which Marianne did a side note, so I'm going to side note too. So when you are in awe, I loved what she brought up last week, that, correct me if I'm not saying this right, but that we are the only mammals that get goosebumps of being in awe of something. So I loved that, because I don't call them goosebumps when I'm in awe. I'm probably not the only one that calls them this. I call them God bumps, because that's how I feel. I feel him, right? When, like, I'm in awe of something. So on Sunday mornings, I get to hear my kingdom kids sing praises to God. And I'm so thankful for that, because I tell them after they sing these praises, I get God bumps because of their praise. And now they know to recite it back to me, that after they sing, you know, I raise a hallelujah. We sing praise. We sing there's joy in the house of the Lord. And after they sing one of those songs, and I get the God bumps, and I tell them, ooh, I've got the God bumps. And now they know to recite, he's here. Because that's how we feel him. We get God bumps. And we know that God is in this place. God can also be in the friend that gives you a hug on a bad day. He's in the quiet moments as you're rocking your baby to sleep. And he's in the moments of tragedy and of celebration. God is infinite. And as the definition says, he is endless in space. Endless. So the Bible uses measurement, how God measures us. Luke 12:7. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Another side note. After three babies of postpartumness, my hairs are going down. So if anyone's got some advice for me, I'd like to know. So my count to God is dwindling. But Don't be afraid. Doesn't matter. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. And then, I believe, the most important is what God measures about us. And that's in 1 Samuel 16:7, when Samuel is tasked to go find the next king of Israel. And he's going to the house of Jesse, and he's going down the line of brothers. And God keeps saying, nope, not him, nope, not him. And he gets to David, and he says, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at, but people look at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the what? The heart. That's the most important measurement to God for us. He looks at the heart. He doesn't care how much money you have. He doesn't care your height, your weight, how funny you are, where you live. He cares about your heart and that you are his child. So perhaps we need to learn to measure as God measures, or to count how God counts. Philippians 2:3-4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value, count, others above yourselves. Not looking at your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. We need to count ourselves less. Or Romans 5:20. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Our sins are measurable, but aren't we thankful that his grace wipes them all away? Maybe we need to not measure the wrongdoings to us by the people around us and extend grace and forgiveness to those around us as well. So, we have God is infinite. He is immeasurable. We cannot measure him. We are not God because we have measurement. So the next part did that is that God is limitless. We humans do not like limits. And from a very young age, we start to test this theory. Toddlers love to test limits. That's the season that I am in right now. Been in for a while. And when you tell them not to do something, what do they usually do? They do it. Yeah. Like, stop touching your brother. Don't write on the walls. Or the famous, don't touch the electric socket. So, when Crawford was one, I asked him, what does Mama say? And we can see the answer. This one you'll have to turn up really loud.
Hey, what does Mama say?
I guess he got the wave down. No. I can't believe he's 9. Just turned 9. So obviously, he was testing lots of limits at this age. And all he was hearing from his mama at the time was, no. And sometimes we don't like hearing that from God, right? So we may learn what's right and wrong when we're young, but it doesn't mean that we stop testing the limits. So Jen, the author, she says, with age, we may learn enough self-control not to put our drool-covered fingers in electrical sockets, or write our names on the wall in permanent marker, but we will carry in us this same compulsion as a toddler to do that which we ought not to do, or to reach for that which we ought not to touch. And, buckle up, here we go. We are line crossers, boundary breakers, fence jumpers, carrying inside us a warped belief that our heavenly parent wants to withhold from us something that is needful and pleasurable. We think he's holding out on us. So in short, we are all sinners. And just like toddlers, we don't like to be told what not to do. So we take the list of sins and we try to justify them because as humans, we see them as limits. It's okay if I watch this show. It's just a guilty pleasure. Guilty. It's okay if I listen to this song. Yes, it may have a bad word in it, but it won't fill my mind, God. It's okay. And what about this one? I'm not gossiping. I'm just telling a story. That one's hard to swallow. And who is the one that's whispering to us to step over these limits? The devil, right? And another limit we don't like, that we cannot be God. We want the power of control. We want the power of knowing all the answers. So what story at the very beginning of the Bible explains this theory? Any takers?
Oh, Adam and Eve.
Yes. Score. Adam and Eve. And who told them from the very beginning that limitlessness was within reach?
Satan.
Thank you. Yes. The devil. So just like Adam and Eve, we long for that which is intended only for God. So, theologians made two lists when they describe who God is. The first list we will be talking about in this series. And this list can only be obtained by God. So only God is infinite, immeasurable, limitless. Only God is incomprehensible. Only God is omniscient. Only God is self-sufficient. Only God is sovereign. Only God is self-existent. It's going to make me take my drink of my water. Only God is eternal. Only God is omnipotent. Only God is immutable. And only God is omnipresent. These words can only be God. But we sometimes want to be this. Now the second list, if you have your handout, this is the second list. And the second list describes who God is. But guess what? We can be these things. This is what we can be to reflect God. And so I put a scripture with each one of these. That way, I mean, I'm a visual person, so I mainly did this. I did this for you, but I also did this for myself too, because I want it on my fridge and I want to look at it when, or on the my back of my door, that when I'm going out into the world, these are the things that I want to reflect who God is. So I'm going to go through each one and the scripture if you want to follow along. God is holy. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. God is loving. Mark 12, 30 through 31. First, we must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as your what? Self. There is no commandment greater than these. God is just, good, and merciful. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. God is good, right? God is gracious. Psalm 103:8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, as a parent, I must say this to myself, abounding in love, slow to anger. Sometimes that's the first thing we get to is anger, right? Which then goes to the next one. Long-suffering, which I am going to be quite honest. You know, I didn't grow up reading the fruits of the Spirit, hearing long-suffering in the fruits. We heard the word patient. So I had to look it up. And long-suffering, the definition, to be patient and show self-restraint, enduring hardship, offenses, or delays without becoming angry or giving up. Long-suffering, patience, because we suffer for a long time of patience. And the scripture with that one is this. Colossians 3, 12 through 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, long-suffering. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. God is wise. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. And I love that with God is infinite, right? We fear his power because it's immeasurable. It's limitless. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So how are we wise? We're wise because we know God is infinite and we have the fear of the Lord. That makes us wise. God is jealous. Exodus 34:14. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. He's jealous for us. We have a lot of temptations in this world. And he wants those temptations to go away, to stop distracting us. And he wants us. He's jealous for us. God is faithful. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. This scripture is very relevant. And it's been relevant since the beginning of the church. And I wanted to read a little note about faithfulness that my Bible had a footnote about it in Revelation 2:10. And it said, the message to the church of Smyrna, was an exhortation to remain faithful through suffering, because God is in ultimate control of the world's ultimate outcome. He's in ultimate control. He's infinite. And his promises of eternal life to believers are reliable. Jesus never said that by being faithful to him, we would avoid trouble, sufferings, or persecution. Rather, we must be faithful to him in our sufferings. Only then will our faith prove itself genuine. We remain faithful by keeping our eyes on Christ. I thought that was pretty powerful. God is righteous. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his what? Kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And God is truthful. Ephesians 4:15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Instead, speaking truth in love. Sometimes we forget that part. Now, we should crave this list every day. It's a hard list. It's a hard list to do all of these things. But I'm thankful for God who gives us grace on the days that we don't fulfill it. These attributes allow us to reflect who God is, or, as I say to my kids every morning, go shine your lights. This is how we conform into the image of Christ. This week, and in the weeks ahead, when we're talking about the 10 traits of God, I want you to reflect on the second list. Be thankful that God has given us limits. And Jen says, our limits teach us to fear the Lord. They are reminders that keep us from falsely believing that we can be like God. And when I reach the limit of my strength, I worship the one whose strength never fails. And when I reach the limit of my reason, I worship the one whose reason is beyond searching. And I'm so thankful for a God that knows all the answers. And I can trust in his timing and his goodness even when it's hard. And so to end, I wanted to read this verse. Now, I will say this is a God moment for me, this verse. In my studying of this, I was in Philippians. I was reading a different verse than this. But then you know when you get that nudge in Scripture to, like, keep reading. I got that nudge. And I felt like this was a really great ending to how God is infinite. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he, Jesus, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, faithful, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. I want to sing the song every time I say that word. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus had God's infinite power. But he gave it up for who? For us. He gave that up for us to save us. and to show us by example how we are to be like God. We can't be God, but we can be like him. So my question at the beginning of the lesson was this. How should the knowledge that God is infinite change the way I live? Number one, I am not in control. God is immeasurable. He has no limit. He has no limits. And he has ultimate control. And I have to remind myself daily, Megan, you are not in control. Sometimes I have to let that go. And that's okay. God is in control. Number two, we can become like God and reflect God with these attributes. We can shine our lights like him every day. But we cannot be God. We cannot be infinite. God is infinite. We have limits. And guess what? He gave them for us. He gave those limits to us on purpose. So, I hope this week you focus on the ways that we can reflect God. And if we show the world who God is, we can help make this place a little less dark. So let's pray. Dear God, Lord, we are so thankful for your infinite power. We are thankful that we are not in control, although sometimes we want to be. Lord, help us to remember daily that you are in control. You are infinite. You are all around us. Help us to get those God bumps whenever you are near. And Lord, help us to shine our lights for you daily. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
That was outstanding. How many have God bumps? When you consider all of that, really, and then you recognize really what God gave up, Jesus gave up for that. Such a great love. Amazing lesson. Thank you so much. We serve an amazing God, and thank you for reminding us of his infinity. Be sure and come back next week, and we will be blessed by Alyssa McCook, who will be talking about how God is incomprehensible, the God of infinite mystery. So if you love mysteries, come back next week. Thank you. Good night.